everyone, and welcome back to Escaping Carcosa Offline. I am Michaela. I use she, her pronouns. I will be the keeper for our Call of Cthulhu 7th edition game here. And we will go around and introduce everyone. First, we'll start with... I almost said Guy. First, we will start with Jack.
Hi, I'm Jack, and I'll be playing the character Guy Jury, who is a private investigator / occult investigator, but at least that's what he calls himself. We both use he, him pronouns, and you can find me on Twitter at Jack_true. That's at JAK_true, all lowercase.
And Tenzin.
Hi, my name is Tenzin. I go by they, them pronouns, and I play Mauve, also they, them. You can find me on socials at Tenzin Days, as in days of the week. Excited to see where this next episode goes. I don't know, accept reality at this point. Or maybe not. We'll have to see.
Dre.
Hi, I'm Dre Silvertooth, they, them. Dre Silvertooth on Twitter, Drea. And I'm playing Fable, she, they. The flipping, jumping, parkour practicing machine. I can usually be found GMing the actual play podcast, Bad Heroes.
Very cool. Welcome back, everyone. So, on our last episode, we got to see a little view of the Midwest, as a matter of fact. And beyond that, our investigators met up. They got to learn how to punch real good, met some new friends, a very interesting coach, and some not-so-friendly friends. Mysterious figure popped up in lieu of a blackout within the gym where they were all practicing, and just as quickly slipped away from their grasp. Now, the investigators are concluding class. The hectic chaos that was happening has settled down a bit. Lights are back on. The blackout curtains have been opened. So if anything, there's even more light than there was to begin with within the facility. And everyone's trying to figure out what exactly happened. Meanwhile, Coach Broshi is keeping it cool and trying to keep everyone calm.
All right. Everyone, it's okay. I think someone just bumped into the lights, to be honest. Is everyone all right? No one punched any eyes out amidst the blackout, right?
Unfortunately, no.
We have those waivers. Don't want to use them.
Guy will go back to the locker room and get dressed, ready to leave, I think.
Did class end?
Class is, like, wrapping up. So there were a few more minutes left when the lights had gone out. But it seems like everyone kind of got their sparring in and is like, all right, you know, it's a good natural end to the session. Everyone's a little, it's like, okay, that was weird. Like, but if it was just the lights that turned off, then I guess no big deal, right? And everyone's, you know, kind of following Guy's lead, as a matter of fact. A good handful of folks are going to the locker rooms and getting switched out of their gym clothes or their, you know, combat clothes.
Is Serena still with me?
Serena actually hasn't strayed too far from you. She kind of, like, followed you over after getting the lights flicked back on. It was like, hey, are you okay? Like, everything good? Sorry about that. I guess someone bumped the light switch or was pulling a prank or something.
I'm all right. It's just a little prank I'm sure somebody's pulling. I'm just, glad I didn't accidentally hit somebody in the dark and can definitely keep continuing working at my gallery.
Oh, absolutely. I know you were mentioning, you know, you don't want to accidentally punch too hard and risk damaging your painterly hands. So, you know, you got painterly hands. I got punching hands. It's, you know, it's great. It's good. It's cool.
You know, why don't you take my card so you can come check it out?
Yeah, she's blushing a little bit and takes your card. It's like, okay, stay safe out there. You said you were taking these classes for, like, defense purposes, so I hope, you know, everything's okay.
Yeah, you look like you could kick ass.
Yeah, I've got so much combat skill. Let someone try to run up on me. I'll give them the 1, 2, 3. And she does some little, like, jabbing motions and a little, you know, a duck, a little bob and weave. And she heads to the locker room and I think goes to switch out of her gym clothes as well.
Hey, did you just give that person your phone number?
No, I gave her my business card.
That's basically the same thing. Hey, Guy's having a time. I think he saw something. We should probably get to a place where if he screams at the top of his lungs, nothing will happen.
All right, let's go save him.
So you gave him your business card?
Yes.
Did you tell him to wait, you know, maybe a few days or something for fire damage? Or...
Oh, no. I forgot you burned my gallery to the ground. Fuck.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, it'd be great to meet Xavier. That's it, I suppose.
It's fine. I'm sure I'll figure something out.
Just go put your phone number in their phone.
I don't know. It's too late.
Well, hopefully it'll all work out.
Listen, we all just want Mom to find love, okay?
Coach Broshi comes back up to the front of the class. It looks like he went into the locker room to change, but he came out wearing the exact same thing that he was wearing when he started the class. So you get the feeling that this is like an everyday type of style for him, but he didn't want to be all sweaty, smelly. So he freshened up, got new clothes on, but they're just the same clothes.
He's just dedicated to his craft.
dedicated to his craft.
I don't think Fable changed. I think Fable just is always dressed for like flips and shit. So they just wore what they're always wearing.
That tracks. That's fair. Coach Broshi comes out and kind of apologizes for the inconvenience. Again, is very apologetic. But, you know, looks out to you all and the rest of the students as well.
I appreciate you all hanging out and, you know, coming to learn how to punch and kick. Or if you've been here before, I appreciate you coming back. Remember, the first class is on House of Punch. If you're interested in more, feel free to you know, come talk to me after. I'll make sure to keep your forms filed, all that good stuff. And, you know, you can come in when you want, but I'll give you a sheet with kind of a general consensus of the schedule on it. And we'll get you squared away. You come when you want.
Yeah, we'll take three. This nice person with their credit card and business card that doesn't quite apply anymore, we'll go ahead and get that paid for Wilson, Angel, and Bobbert.
Marvin.
Right. Marvin. I feel like that's how people steal credit cards.
No.
But okay.
No. It's okay. Leans in really close. No, it's okay. Like, they are afraid of...
Yeah.
Identity theft. So they don't tell anyone their real name. Also, they're shy. And my friend screamed earlier because he's afraid of the dark. And I'm just going to leave and never try to lie again. Goodbye.
Would you believe Mauve is short for Marvin?
There we go. That's better.
But Marvin's longer. Or is it the same?
Marvin.
Wait. And he starts writing. He's like, wait. Marvin. Mauve.
Well, what happened was they like to fish and they caught a marlin. And we were like, you know what? It's kind of like Marvin. Anyway, bye. Fable leaves. After getting to like Nat 1's this explanation.
Okay, have fun. Be safe. See you around.
And he like puts his fists together and like yeah, and you all successfully completed a class at the House of Punch. And off the record, our investigators got some little buffs to their brawl and their dodges as they saw fit, whichever one they wanted to pick, and yeah, they might be returning here soon.
I think I've just decided in this moment that Fable's like really bad at lying, and you all know this, like you've seen this happen, and anytime Fable tries to lie, like they think they know how to do it, they think they can do it, and it just goes off the rails so fast within the first 10 seconds.
Okay, Fable is not allowed to do the lying from here on out.
Yeah, you went fishing, my name is Bobbert, like, nobody let me lie. Everybody lie for me. My days of
it's so good, though.
My days of lying are behind me. Next time we have to lie, somebody just cover my mouth and lie for me.
So you all have finished up this class at the House of Punch.
some weird stuff went down. It sounds like that you all believe Guy at this point about what he saw. I'm not sure, Mauve, if you fully believe him or not. That is up to you. Sounds like Fable did, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We've seen enough weird shit. That...
Yeah, I think I do.
Yeah, Guy had a run-in with a classmate who was not there at the beginning of class. And who just as quickly swept away. So you all aren't sure what all that's about other than what Guy has told you. The message that was kind of left with him.
Okay, so, all right. So, Guy, you said that they said that their plan will come to fruition?
Yeah, they told us to stop what we were doing. It wouldn't matter. But whatever they've got planned is going to happen.
And they implied that we were sneaking into places we weren't supposed to be, which definitely means that they knew that we were in the Mopop Museum.
Well, I suppose so, but who knows? This is a supernatural event as far as I'm concerned. They could be looking into your mind right now.
Oh boy.
If they wanted to, I suppose.
Yeah.
Or if they had the means. But you'd probably feel it. It would probably manifest itself as dark dreams.
Guy?
Yes?
Guy, focus. Focus up. No dark mind-reading dreams. Just gonna focus.
Right.
So, still angry with you. This changes nothing. But we're gonna focus up. What do we do?
I think we need to try to figure out more about the stuff because we don't know what the hell is going on.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with that. Go, go team, I guess. We need a better team name. That's not a good team.
Okay, team, do things. We need to find...
No, wait, no!
a place where we can sit safely, put together everything that's happened so far. We've all seen shit. We've all done shit. The last day.
What about team boo things? Like it's spooky.
Boo things! That's cute.
What if we each go around and look for some more information regarding these groups? I think I have some tomes on the occult.
Mauve, you're suggesting we split up?
Well, we don't have to split up entirely. I just figured I could go find some books on all of this occult stuff. You could come with me if you want.
Okay.
Protect Mauve while they go through books. Yeah, that'll work.
And I think we should make sure we check on people.
And probably contact Nor as well, to make sure that she's all right.
I think it's been just a couple hours, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just been a couple hours, but I think we should just check in periodically just to say, like, you know, we'll ring, make sure we get a text back or something.
Okay.
You all would know that in Seattle you have a lot available to you in the city of Seattle. It's a fairly large city. It is very established, even prior to 2050, where technology and infrastructure really started booming. Seattle already had a lot of resources as far as restaurants and libraries, schools, buildings, all of that. So you would know that there are libraries that are available to you in the city for resources. So Mauve, you might be able to collectively with your resources and the library's resources get some intel there, or you all might be able to get some intel at the library as well. You have some areas of town like bars and taverns, restaurants where you can get intel, of course, from individuals within those institutions. You have the city itself, right? You know, just kind of walking around, listening in to people around you, people watching almost, to kind of see what's going on. And then you all right now have a few companies that you would be aware of, like Nanolutions, who is going to be helping Nostradamus with the healthcare aspect for the players stuck in the game. And you do know that they are primarily nanotechnology focused, but they put those resources towards medical, like medical relations. And for Toad Jam, I imagine Fable has told you all by now that Nor, I actually think that Fable already did tell you all that Nor was heading off to investigate Toad Jam Studios, because that's where the letter either was from or mentioned. You aren't entirely sure. It was a pretty vague letter. So that's another company to kind of keep in mind. But they seem like they are someone trying to help as opposed to hurt. So if you wanted, I think you all would have time to go to Moe's place and gather some books real quick.
Okay.
In the general sense, how do we feel about how often we split up? Like, do we want to try to make an effort to stay together most of the time, or do we want to all go separate ways and investigate different things?
That's up to y'all. So I can make it work story-wise. That's not the issue there, but the dangers therein lie in the splitting up is that you all have more strength in numbers when it comes to the things happening around you. So you might be at a little bit of a disadvantage, right? If someone comes after you all, you don't have each other to kind of lean on. But you can split up a bit here and there. I won't be too mean. Either way, you're going to get spooky stuff, whether you're together or apart. It's just how the spooky stuff happens will differ based on the groupings, kind of.
Cool. So shall we say, preliminary plan, go to Moves, gather anything from Moves' place, maybe take it to Gale's place?
That's what I'm thinking, because if, depending on what your tomes look like, Moe, I imagine it wouldn't be too hard to carry them with you.
And then we can sort of plan to spend the night researching.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that works for me.
All right. Let's do it. I'm thinking about whether we want to do, but we only have three of us, so a split does not equate to the buddy system, because there's only three of us. So actually, we should...
Someone could go alone if they would like.
No.
To the library.
No way.
Nah.
Tintin's like, absolutely not.
Nah, it's okay. I'll break into something later. Let's go together. Bob's house.
You know, that's on the books. That has to happen at some point in the next couple of days.
Yeah. Well, and keep in mind, you all can always encourage or persuade some of your friends or NPCs to go along with you. To what degree you want to get them entangled in what's going on is up to you all individually as players. But that is also an option, so that way you will still have another individual with you. I should actually probably start keeping character sheets for some of these people that are more prominent. Now that I think about it.
Sven's going with us everywhere. Sven has become a companion NPC.
Sven!
Okay, we jump in a tuber and go to Moe's house.
Yeah, go to Moe's.
Oh, gosh.
Get stuff. Take it to Giles. And make sure we're all in one place and decide what to do next.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So you all want to call up a tuber?
What are other options? Tuber, Zoomer? What are the other rides? Loft?
Loft.
Loft, yeah.
Okay, Fable says, no Zoomer. No Zoomer. No more screens. I'm done with screens. Forever.
Yeah, let's just go with Loft.
Loft it is.
So you all pull up your fun little ride-sharing app and call in a Loft so you can get to Moves sooner rather than later. And your trip is relatively normal. Probably one of the most normal trips you've had in a while. much to your relief, I imagine. It kind of gives you all a moment to decompress from what just happened at House of Punch, but also some time to kind of chill out. Your muscles are probably a little bit sore, probably a little bit tired, so this way you get a moment to recoup on your way over to Moves.
Fable, Hex, Snore, you good?
You get a response back with a, yep, exclamation point, and a smiley face. So it seems like everything's okay.
Does this guy have any emails as he checks on the journey?
Is your email like a burner email almost? Like it doesn't have any personifying features, right? Like
yeah, he just has a few emails, I think.
Because I was like, if it's an email box that's really full, I was thinking about making you roll for it. Because you have like a bunch of junk mail, but if you keep it pretty cleaned out.
No one emails guy.
That's fair.
Even his main email's just got a PayPal notification on it.
Yeah. You have an email with no subject in the line. And the sender just says M.
Cool, I'll check it out.
Within the email, it looks like you have been sent some locations in Seattle where you might be able to get the things that you are looking for. It is a pretty vague email, so as to not give away any information that can be used against you or M that you're receiving this from or any of the other individuals involved, but it kind of gives you a general area where you can find them in Seattle.
Cool.
And then at the bottom, it says that they'll send you another correspondence with a code word to use at these areas.
Nice. How many locations are there?
Is it like a lot of locations or very few?
It's very few. So it looks like there's about two or three. The third one is up in the air. There's like a little note that says, not as reliable, but it's there if you need it.
Guy's future plan, when he does split off, once everything's sorted and organized, he'll go and sort out the stuff and maybe you know, introduce his friends to his old world a little bit.
Aww.
Nice.
Exciting.
I'd like to check if I'm fired. Just go online and see if my job is listed on the gallery's website. Am I fired? Is Mo fired?
Your job listing is not up there. As a matter of fact, on the website, you are still listed as an employee. You know, they have kind of an overview of the more prominent figures who work there, the portrait shots and what they do at the museum. You are still on the website as it stands. You do have... Did you reblock Xavier's number after Guy called?
Wait, Guy called Xavier?
Yeah, Guy called Xavier back because of the message that was left in the ashes.
No, I would have left his number unblocked.
So you have like 10 missed calls from Xavier.
Oh my god. Oh no, are there any voicemails?
Yeah, it looks like there's about 3.
I check it, but I'm not going to listen to it right now.
Okay. It looks like 2 of them are only a few seconds long, and 1 of them is like 5 minutes long.
Abel opens Wikipedia and is reading about the different classes and builds that are in the current Carcosa Online game. Like, is researching the different builds and is trying to read what people were speculating before the game launched would be like the most OP build.
Interesting. It seems like you're scrolling through Ribbit, especially this is a hot topic. People get into feuds over stuff like this all the time in video games. And it's such a new game that you can't really pinpoint an OP build yet. It seems like a lot of folks have their speculations, especially longtime members of the gaming community. You can tell by their, you know, their karma and whatnot, that they've been around for a while. And it seems like the miscellaneous classes that are listed, as well as the like the character races that are available to pick when you start the game, it seems like more than anything, people are just really excited about it, which is really sad because the game didn't turn out to be anything like anyone had expected. So you're looking for this information, and more than anything, you're just kind of saddened by the general response, because now in those same forums, a lot of the members who are posting have gone quiet.
Yep, that's depressing.
While you all are checking your socials and your voicemails and emails and such, you pull up to Mauve's place. Mauve, do you want to tell us a little bit about your house, apartment, condo?
It is a studio apartment. Pretty suitable for a bachelor of artistic vision. A bit minimalist, pop of color here and there, open concept kitchen. There's a second upper level that's open concept again where the bed is, so it's like half of the height of the place. You can see the bed. And there's a bit of a stairs, so almost like a bunk bed but added to the wall. So lots of artwork. And shelves of books. Very Mauve, I would say, in dignity. Oh, and there's a glass table, coffee table, surrounding some sectional couches. Oh, and a window. Large windows. Let in some natural lighting.
Nice place. Nice art. Guy, don't even think about it.
I wasn't gonna do anything, all right? There was reasons last in the gallery.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better not.
As you're talking, Guy is a cigarette is going closer and closer to Guy's mouth.
Put it out.
Fine.
You need a spray bottle. That works really good for like cats clawing the carpet. I think you need that, and then when he lights up, you just it's actually double whammy because it'll put it out.
That's a good idea.
That's quite demeaning. I'm a grown man.
Yeah, well, maybe quit lighting shit on fire then, huh?
If you act like an animal, you'll be treated like an animal.
Nice.
Fable gets water. Do you have any Pop-Tarts?
Why would I have Pop-Tarts?
I love Pop-Tarts.
You snob. Fun fact, I'm actually sick, and I ordered 5 boxes of Pop-Tarts today to come to my house because I'm sick and I wanted Pop-Tarts.
It's a lot of Pop-Tarts.
4 cans of soup, 8 boxes of tissues, a bottle of ibuprofen, and 5 boxes of Pop-Tarts.
You must have bought all the flavors.
They are. It's all the flavors.
Your Pop-Tarts outnumber your tissues because there's 2 Pop-Tarts per, like, package.
It's true. And each box has, like, 6 packages, so they really outnumber.
Yeah. 5 or 6. Pop-Tarts are heckin' good. You can eat them in the toaster. You can eat them without a toaster.
Well, don't eat them in the toaster because you won't fit, but... Anyway, camera pans away from Fable.
Yeah. Fable goes scrounging for Pop-Tarts. There are none, unfortunately.
Is your milk good? You're a person with an active lifestyle. You probably have old milk in your fridge. The guy will drink.
I would have walnut milk, so no, guy. It did not go bad.
Fair enough. We've got a lot of nut milk, yeah.
Walnut, is that a thing? Is walnut milk a thing?
Yeah, pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I've seen it. If you can milk most nuts. Guy will just drink directly from the carton whatever you've got in the fridge.
Guy,
why didn't you get a glass?
I was planning on drinking the whole thing, don't worry.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Well, I'm not going to eat anything else today, probably.
You're looking around your bookshelf. You probably have a handful of books on the occult in general, ranging from a more young adult perspective to a more adult perspective, since you kind of got involved in the occult at a, you know, younger age. So if you kept any of those, you would even have some books. They might not be as informative, but you would have a few to kind of reference from. If you want to go ahead and roll me in occult.
I got a success.
So you're rummaging through your bookshelf and you find about 3 books that you think might come in handy. One of them is kind of like a picture book, almost.
What?
It is primarily pictures. And not as much information. It's one of those books where it gives you like a picture of something and then has a small debriefing under it, like a small paragraph, less so a full read and more just, here's a blurb about this, here's a blurb about that. And it's just on general occult findings. So artifacts that were thought to have been found that have occult meaning to them, some creatures of occult lore, etc. The second book you find is a book that has a kind of, has the, what is it, the gold gilded pages. So it seems to be an older book, though. The front of it and the outside of it are kind of worn down. You think this is maybe a book you got at like a garage sale or in an antique shop. You're not quite sure. And it just says occult on the front of it. Just very point blank. And then the third book you have. This one stood out to you. You don't remember where you got this book or when you got this book. But it is hefty. It's almost like a tome. And the outside of it is leather. It is embossed. Everything on the outside is embossed. The print, the ridges underneath the binds of the book, the pages are kind of a silken material almost. The paper is so of such a good quality that the pages feel silky to you. And this one covers mostly gods and beings of occult origin and various mythos.
Okay, great. I will start pulling these books from my shelf and gathering them at the table.
While you're rummaging through pulling these books out of your shelf, you get a call. Babel, it's from your mom.
Hello. Hey, darling.
Hey.
So, I just got to Seattle a little bit ago. I realized you didn't give me, your friend's address. So I'm not really sure where to go from here. I don't know if you wanted to pick me up or I can just, like, catch a tuba or something. But, I've got supplies. I got some time off of work. We should be set for a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna come get you. And then I'm gonna get rid of my phone.
Why would you get rid of your phone?
I will explain soon. Meet you where I met you last time.
Last time.
Yeah? With the food that you like the most.
Oh, okay. So you want me to leave from the...
It's close to the...
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's right there.
Great.
Yep. Yep. Okay, I'll see you there.
She is oblivious, but she's just like, okay.
I think the last time that Fable's mom came to Seattle, they got bagels, like on the same block as the airport.
Cute. So you would know that she is at SCA.
Okay.
Which is the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport.
Soon to be at Bagels International.
Yeah. Would you like a bagel with your jet lag?
Well, there's no freaking Pop-Tart, so I would like a bagel. Thank you.
Yeah. So your mom has arrived in town.
Okay.
And you can meet up with her for sure.
Fable is going to go in and check on Mauve really fast. Say, hey, I got to go and pick up my mom. My mom is here to take care of Ryan. I got to go get her. You okay with Guy?
Yes, we will be fine. We might head out in a bit. Let's meet up later once you've picked up your mom.
Okay.
Are you going to be okay on your own?
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll meet you at Gale's.
I get the impression that Guy throws down really good and you occult really good, but I disappear really good. So if anyone should be walking around by themselves where someone might come after them, it's probably me. So, and... Mauve, do you ever hug people?
No.
Are you a hugger?
No, I'm not a hugger.
You're not a hugger. I'm trying to figure out if you have ever hugged Fable in your life. Fable's a hugger. Fable's a hugger for sure.
I don't think they would have hugged.
Okay. Fable doesn't hug you. And I think Fable has hugged Guy like one other time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it feels really out of place because they've been fighting. But Fable goes in for a hug. Guy, do you allow it?
Again, he doesn't respond, but he like, sort of like freezes up, but doesn't like stop you or anything.
Thanks.
And when you get back, we'll all talk, right, Guy?
Yeah, I promise we will sit down and talk about it, because we need to decide on something important to do with all this and the future. But it's something that we should really sit down and talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And Fable just pulls away, gives them a wave, and takes off.
So Fable's on their way to go pick up their mom. Mauve, you have those three books you found. You're kind of holding them right now. How are you holding them? Are you holding them precariously, or do you have them like kind of stacked up? They're all differing sizes and weights, so not the most uniform of books. But you have found something you think will help.
I'm definitely keeping them close. Holding it very tight to the chest, pretty heavy looking, knuckles whitening a bit.
Okay. So you have these three books you found. They've got some various information in them regarding the occult, and you think, at least, right, that they'll be of a decent help to you all. There's got to be something in there that will give you an inkling of an idea of what's going on or why. Because you know at this point, you all, with Guy's influence, have, I think, agreed upon that this is not just Nostradamus.
Will you try to get some weapons in the meantime?
Maybe, but I've got an email here. In the next couple of days, we'll be able to get probably something better than you've got. But, you know, maybe a kitchen knife or something now would be good.
All right. Sounds good.
Is there anything else you need around here? I know you didn't get to come home last night.
Oof. I'm starving. I could use something to devour.
All right, I will make flapjacks. Aww. Do you like flapjacks, Mauve? I will make flapjacks.
Sure.
So, guys,
making some flapjacks in your kitchen. You're getting a fresh change of clothes.
Greetings there, travelers. It's me, Wingover Gimbrel, famous gnome bard, and welcome back to the Inn of the Seven Dice. Oh dear, travelers, we made it on time. Oh, but I'm a bit tired, I have to say. And winter just isn't giving up. There's snow again. Every place I'm going to, through the different interdimensional travels, there is snow. You know, I saw a video of a man standing outside screaming as the snow is hitting him, asking spring to keep fighting, and I'm wondering if that's kind of how it works. Is there some grand fey battle that we just don't understand as the seasons shift to some sort of vying for power of which season shall take over? I'm ever so curious about this, but I suppose we won't know unless we ask a fae, and I don't like asking them questions because, honestly, they charge way too much, especially in this economy. Oh, dear travelers, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I will say, why don't you head on over to either the iTunes or the Podchaser or Spotify and go ahead and leave us a message. It's been a minute since we've heard from anyone. It makes us a little bit sad not getting any mail. We were getting quite a bit for a while there, but I think everybody's just busy. The corporate world is also trying to take over and become a season, which I'm very much against. They think it should be winter, spring, corporate, fall, and then back to winter, so I guess they're just trying to out-summer. But, you know, hopefully we can fight back against these horrific corporation entities. All right, dear travelers, all that being said, if you do care to have a lovely shirt with some Battle of the Seven Dice stuff, we have some Escaping Carcosa ones, Nostradamus ones, all sorts of goodies, head on over to Redbubble. That is Redbubble, so go on there. You can find all sorts of Bound of the Seven Dice collections there. We got all sorts of wonderful designs, as this cat just will not stop. All right, travelers, let's go ahead and turn on this cursed radio. Turning on the cursed radio. Sometimes I wonder if it's replaced some of my internal organs, but then I wake up and realize it's just sitting on my chest. I never put it there. That's strange.
In the year 247, in the age of judges, Vartan was summoned home by a letter stating that his father has died under mysterious circumstances. Upon returning home, Vartan opened his mind to the possibility that his father's death and his hometown of Eterno was not everything that it appeared to be. Join us for the next 27 episodes as Vartan comes face to face with monsters, uncovers ancient magic, and finds new friendship with Baya Rustin, the half-elf sorcerer, and Ovik, the tiefling cleric, as they assist him in uncovering the mysteries behind his father's death and the town of Eterno. Welcome to Ethereal Embrace and a Fool's Quest production, coming to a podcatcher near you, July 2021.
Oh, travelers, nothing quite like a delightful radio ad that just has you feeling all the individual spaces between your teeth. Oh, what a joy. All right, dear travelers, I don't wish to take too much more time from you, so instead I shall send you back off into this wondrous tale that I do hope you're enjoying. Until next time, dear travelers, I bid you all adieu.
Babel, you make your way towards the airport in that general direction, but you are not headed to the airport. You are headed to a quaint little bagel place that's right around the airport. And you roll up. It looks like there is someone sitting outside who looks a lot like your mom, kind of swinging her legs back and forth
while she's sitting on a chair out front.
The way you say that while playing a Call of Cthulhu game, there's someone who looks a lot like your mom, is a very alarming statement.
unintentionally. I would feel bad. She's a precious bean.
Okay, good. Fable tackles her.
Like a hug?
I think they're both like big huggers.
Yeah.
They're from a long line of huggers.
Heck yeah. And you haven't been getting many hugs from your current...
No.
Yeah. So as soon as she sees you, flash of recognition crosses her face. And she jumps up and runs towards you as well with outstretched arms for a big hug. About how long has it been since you've seen your mom, you think?
It was in the Midwest. Probably like 6 months.
Okay. So yeah, a good little bit. It's been a while. After you all embrace each other for a moment, right? Really good tight hug. She leans back and like holds your shoulders, but I think you are probably a bit taller than her, so she's holding your shoulders but like at an angle. She's like, It's been a while. Darling, it's so good to see you. How is everything? You had me fly out here rather quickly and only explained, you know, little odds and ends, so I hope everything's okay.
So, do you have a bagel? Did you get a bagel?
No, I was waiting for you. Would you like some bagels?
I would like 3 bagels. And as we are in line to get 3 bagels per person. Okay. Remember how mad you were when I got that big sort of cyberpunk back tattoo? Remember, because I was like 17 and I had to lie to do that and it was a whole thing.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, remember how that was categorized as like a level 8 disaster?
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big deal. You know how I feel about tattoos, but at the same time, listen, you are a grown adult. That is not my choice to make. And maybe it's like a category 6 disaster now.
Okay. So let's assuming that that's between a category 6 and 8. Uh-huh. This is like a level 25. So it's somewhere between like 3 and 6 surprise back tattoos.
You got 6 more.
No, I don't have the level of problem. I'll just show you.
Oh, okay. Right here, you're gonna...
No. Jump cut. Fable shows you their 8 new back tattoos. No.
Okay, so you kind of give your mom quietly a rundown of what's been happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I give her a rundown of, like, ask if, you know, she's heard about Carcosa Online, and mm-hmm. if she knows what's going on with that, and then... Yeah, I think I just tell her everything. I just tell her absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm. She kind of laughs at first a little bit. Like, not to be mean, but in a overwhelmed response, right? Like, it's a laughing response that's coming from, like, panic.
I think that's hereditary. I think Fable does that, too.
Yeah, because she believes you, like, always. You even with the tattoos and such, you typically, I imagine, don't really hide things from her. I think is what she you know. So she believes what you're telling her, but she doesn't believe the actual circumstances. She's like, what do you mean? People are stuck in a, huh? And
yeah, like in a game, and she's basically comatose on Gale's couch. And like, I don't know how to like give her water or food. And there's this company, Nanolutions, that's working with Nostradamus to like take care of people, but they're downplaying it really, really bad. And
how do you downplay people being stuck in a game? That's pretty.
They're saying they've labeled. I mean, you probably saw it on the news, right? Like they're saying it's like extra immersive. But what they're not saying is that when you take people's headsets off, they freaking die. So...
No, there's nothing... I haven't seen anything on the news about this. At least not back home. But now that you mention it, there was a memo when I went to work. They're looking to recruit travel nurses for Seattle. I wonder if it has anything to do with all of this.
Yeah, probably that makes sense, right? Like, they have a bunch of people that need care and can't get around or walk around or drink or anything, and Nostradamus presumably doesn't want them to all spontaneously die. So yeah, I mean, I bet that's what they're doing.
Oh, this is okay. I'm trying not to let this go way over my head. This is she starts giggling again. She's like, okay. Well, I brought supplies, but I you know, when people are in a comatose state, they need like a good bit of IV solution and nutrition to, you know, I have some, and I have some, you know, IVs with me that I can give to Ryan, but I'll have to change those every few days. We're probably going to have to stock up on equipment or like order some. I don't need an IV pole to hang a bag. I can make it work if we have something to leverage it from, as long as it's at a higher point than her IV point. But
I just don't know what else to do, because like if she goes into care at the hospital and they're trying to cover it up and something happens, I mean,
you wouldn't know.
Yeah. And I doubt that they're having visitors to the stuck in a video game ward.
Wow. Okay. I tell you what. We'll make it work.
Okay.
She's gonna be okay. And if there's anyone else I can help, they're gonna be okay. Because things like this don't just happen. Right?
Yeah. I have an idea.
Okay.
Might be a bad idea. Mm-hmm. They're hiring travel nurses?
Yeah. Yeah. The hospital I work at, they had like a memo in front of the office to my clinical coordinators, you know. There weren't a lot of details, but I can call and see if I can, you know, get more info on it.
I don't want you to get hurt, but if you worked there, you'd be here, right? So you could change her IV every couple days, and you'd also know what they were doing.
Okay. I'll look into it. If I can help, I will. I don't like seeing you like this.
Well, if you don't like seeing me like this, wait till you see Ryan.
Oh, no. Your mom's gonna have a full-on breakdown before she can even administer care.
Yeah.
And with that, you all leave. You went back through the line to get more emotional support bagels, and you head to Gale's with like several dozen bagels.
Hey, you three, come here. I like you all very much. I would throw you all out a window right now for a bagel. I want a bagel so bad. You said bagel too many times.
I'm sorry. It's okay. The craving has been implemented.
Okay.
So you all, yeah, you make your way to Gale's. And Guy, Mo, you have the reading material you were looking for, or at least a start, as well as some quick weapons that you picked up that might aid you in the upcoming days. And flapjacks. Oh gosh, y'all are going to be full on so many carbs.
It's worth noting that in the US, flapjack is like another word for pancake, right? But in the UK, it is more like a baked cereal bar, like a granola bar with like oats and nuts and syrup and stuff. So it's like a fresh cereal bar almost, but like soft like a cookie.
Oh, that sounds really good, actually.
I think that sounds better.
Yeah.
It's just different food is the thing.
Yeah.
That's what Guy's referring to when he makes flapjacks.
Okay. So you could probably bring some of those, right? It's up to you all. You're free to, you know, sit and eat some of them. And if there are any extras, you can kind of bring them along with you to Gale's, I'm sure. I don't know how well they hold up. But it sounds like, because you said they're bars, but they're kind of softer.
Yeah, they just harden. They just become like cereal bars.
Nice. Okay.
So they can last a while.
Heck yeah. Fable, you have mini bagels and your mother, and you are making your way to Gale's. Mauve, Guy, you have flapjacks, many of them, and some interesting reading material. And I imagine you all end up at Gale's around the same time. I think you all left first, but you're a little bit farther out because you were near the airport.
I think at the bagel shop, I think Fable asks her mom if she has, like, I think her mom always keeps, like, a little, like, a little address book. Like, a, one of those little books that has, like, a little pink tiger on it or something. It has everybody's phone numbers.
Right. It has the little tabs.
Fable asks if she can have, like, part of it. Mm-hmm. And then rips out some pages, writes down everybody's, like, important numbers, and then drops her phone in the trash can when they leave.
And do you just drop the whole phone in the trash can?
Yes.
Okay.
As opposed to part of the phone?
A working
phone.
Wait,
hang on.
Right?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, I see. No, yes. No, no. Yes. I think, how do phones work now? Can you take parts of phones and leave them in different places? You can't take them apart. Like, there's no battery in them.
No, because it's like a smartphone. So iPhones, at least, have a function where you can, like, factory reset the phone.
Ah, okay. Fable does that.
Yeah. Or you could, like, break it, obviously, if you wanted to go the route where you, like, step on it and stuff.
Actually, Fable factory resets it. And then hands it to the kid that's working on the other side of the bagel shop and just says, like, hey, you should sell this. Have a good day.
They give you a very skeptical look. They're like,
I mean, you don't have to, but I don't want it. Throw it away if you want.
Was it yours? I don't want to get in trouble.
No, it's mine. I mean, not anymore.
Okay. And they stuff it in their apron. And if you'll just roll me a quick spot hidden.
No. No, Michaela, no! Bagel shops are sacred.
It's okay. It's not the bagel shop.
Uh-oh. I'm gonna push. My spot hidden is a 40, and I got an 83. So let me just try that shit again. Aha, I got it. Okay, 36.
Okay, and how do you push your roll? Like, you're very aware of your surroundings right now.
I think Fable turns on, like, work mode for a second and does a sort of scan of the building. Like, looks to see what cameras are here, where they're pointed, if they look like types of cameras that Fable has seen before. Mm-hmm. Looks at, like, what computers are there. Looks to see if anybody, like, who has their phone out. Does, like, a technology scan.
So, Fable, when you factory reset your phone, when you open up the screen to, like, set your phone back up, it says hello in a bunch of different languages. You notice when you're handing the phone over and that screen has popped up to, like, start your phone back up and kind of orient it to the way you want it to be in whatever languages you want. The first hello that pops up, it's a face you recognize on the hello screen.
Is it the frickin'...
It's the one you've seen in the back of Smiley's stream and at Mopop.
Hate technology. I'm done with it forever.
And it says hello.
I'm gonna roll idea to see if I'm cursing this random kid who works at a bagel shop with a monster phone.
Okay. Absolutely.
My intelligence is 80. Okay, I rolled a 68.
Okay. The hello you got doesn't seem to be threatening. It doesn't seem friendly, necessarily, either.
The face that popped up on my phone, where there should be no faces, doesn't seem threatening? Are you sure?
It doesn't seem daunting, if that makes sense. The hello was not warbled or anything like that. The screen itself, aside from the face, not much of anything. And the face went away pretty quickly. But you get the idea that it's not gonna affect the person you're giving it to.
Okay, so the face is following me, not my phone. Good. Cool. Good. Okay, I give the kid a phone. and
And you all meet up at Gale's after those various interactions. You all get situated. Fable, your mother is there now. I imagine introductions take place. But before they do, she immediately rushes over to Ryan and makes sure she's okay, checks her vitals, gets an IV hooked up, asks Gale for, like, a pole of sorts, like a shower pole, or a pole that goes across, you know, like a window to hold a curtain, anything that he's got, so she can kind of rig up the IV above Ryan, so that way the drip flows properly. And after she's done with all that, she kind of, as she sits down and she starts crying.
Well, it's my mom, Hortensia. See ya.
Hi! I'm sorry you all are dealing with this.
Hey, guy. Hey, Mauve. There was a face in my phone, by the way. Same face that was on my computer. I got rid of that, so I don't have a phone anymore. I guess just contact me by fucking carrier pigeon. And,
we'll get you a burner.
Yeah, that'd be great. I had a feeling you'd know how to do that. But, like, I want not a smartphone. I want a stupid phone. I want a very old phone that has, like, physical buttons and isn't hooked up to jack shit except being able to call people.
I will dig through my storage unit.
Thank you.
Well, it's lovely to meet you, finally, Sia. Sorry this couldn't be under better circumstances.
Yeah, it's okay. It's lovely to meet you all. Fable talks about friends all the time. You seem like interesting people.
They are. Yeah, they're definitely interesting people.
She starts sniffling and kind of starts wiping away the tears and stops crying and kind of comes to her senses. She's like,
would you like some flapjacks?
Yeah, the black bits are raisins, not slugs.
Why would you say that?
Why would they be slugs? She offers a bagel in return.
We might know each other for a while, and if that's the case, later on, you might start to wonder. I'm just letting you know right now.
Okay.
In case it weighs you on your mind in the future. I'm Guy, by the way, Guy Jury.
Right, no slugs. Hi, Guy. Gives you a little handshake.
And your Fable's mum, what should we call you?
It's really up to you. You can call me Hortensia or Sia, I guess, if we're going to be, you know, familiar with each other.
Sia, that's a good name. It's good to meet you. You seem like a very nice, caring person.
Oh, thank you, hun.
We'll try our best not to put you or anyone else in unnecessary danger.
Yeah, I mean, this goes without saying, but if anyone puts my mom in danger, I will absolutely kill you and poke your eyeballs. Oh, don't.
Don't. No, don't kill anyone, sweetie. It's okay.
Sia, do you need anything at all?
Smoke.
My mom is a nurse. She doesn't smoke.
You would be surprised how many nurses smoke.
She's going to spend the next 3 days trying to talk you into not smoking.
She might. Yeah, she doesn't smoke. Like, oh, no, thank you. But I appreciate it.
Everyone in Fable's life is just a muffin. Like, Sia and Gale are just, like, the nicest human beings on Earth.
I know, you really are, Gale. So you all are probably resting a bit here, taking a moment of reprieve. There's been a lot going on, like, consistently at this point. Your mom stays pretty close to Ryan, and you all have a little bit of downtime. It's a little into the afternoon, late afternoon at this point.
I think Mauve has the books out, a bunch of them, but mainly the three, and starts flipping through the pages and says, Fable, Guy, there are some books here if you want to help.
Just vandalize your books. Got it. I'll take the picture book.
And between you and Guy, which books do you all take?
Well, Guy will take is that the gold one or the silky one?
Yeah, the occult one is the oldest one, one that just says occult on the front. But the third one you found is also an older book, but it seems to be in better condition. So you're not sure if it was just taken better care of or if the other one is older. They're both probably about the same. But the third one was the one with the like leather binding on it and the really like smooth paper and such. And then the occult one, the one that just said occult on the front, was the one with the kind of worn exterior and the golden gilded pages.
Ooh, okay. Then I'll take the golden one.
And then Guy gets the hefty leather tome.
Cool.
So if you all want to roll me either an occult, a spot hidden.
Can I roll library use, or is that for...
I'm going to say that this works because it's from Mauve's personal library.
My cult's not bad, but my library use is just a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely.
My cult is abysmal, so I'm going to roll spot hidden.
Okay.
Oh. I rolled a 95. I spot fucking nothing.
You're just looking at the pretty pictures, yeah. You're like, oh.
Listen, I'm under some stress. My mom is here. That puts a damper on things.
That's fair.
I got a 50, and my cult is 85.
Very good. And Guy?
I got 35 out of the 70, so it's a half.
I think Fable keeps trying to look through the book and then keeps getting distracted by like asking their mom like over and over again, like, is she doing okay? Like, is she too dehydrated? Like, did we wait too long? Like, and just keeps like trying to look through the book and then losing her spot and like
right,
not really paying good attention to what she's doing.
Yeah. Guy, you're flipping through this hefty book and you find a correlation that is familiar to you. And something that stands out is...
it's established that Guy has broken reading glasses. He's
aw, that's right.
Puts on now. That was in episode 2, I think, where he put them on to, and they got covered in slugs.
Oh, yeah, and you broke them.
Yes, your little broken reading glasses. You're flipping through this tome, and you've got your little broken reading glasses on, so some of the words maybe look a little funny. But something that doesn't look funny is a depiction of a being, because you have the book that includes like beings and deities of occult origin and mythos, and you notice an individual draped in yellow robes, and in the book they are listed as pastor, and there's some little blurbs about this individual, but not anything too dense. It's more just a collection of general information, right? It's more so the imagery in this book for each kind of aforementioned deity mm-hmm. and person is what's supposed to be the most telling. If that makes sense. It almost invokes a knee-jerk response within you. And Mauve, your book, labeled The Occult, has it's a little bit wordier. There aren't as many pictures, but between what Guy just found and what's in your book, when you hear mention of Hastur, you're able to kind of flip through and you find a blurb about the cultist of Hastur. It looks like, for the most part, that they are extremely, extremely loyal to Hastur, and that their main goal is to do Hastur's bidding. And there's a little bit more information on Hastur there, and it mentions that he has swallowed worlds before.
Now, I imagine someone who can swallow worlds probably doesn't have much of a problem squishing people's heads.
So it's a fucking deity, like it's a fucking god, like we're dealing with a fucking god? And why is this horrible god's fucking bidding for a bunch of people to get stuck in a video game?
Well, it depends how you see world, I suppose. It could be a whole new domain.
Like Carcosa is its own world?
Perhaps it's enough of a realistic game that it could be considered as such.
But... what would even be populating that world?
Well, we know there's real people, there's AI, and there's nanotech. But all that together could be something.
Fable throws their cup at the wall, and it explodes.
Did you need to break Gale's mug?
Listen, it's... the fucking... there's a god, and it likes to swallow worlds, and my girlfriend is in the... currently the world that's being eaten. You gotta have a little sympathy. I'm gonna probably break like 5 more mugs before this is over.
Not to make it worse, but
why would you why
there's a chance.
why
prepare for the worst, hope for the best. But
fucking god,
to prepare for the worst,
hand me your mug.
There you go.
Okay, go ahead.
This god, this deity, this Hastur might already own the entirety of Carcosa, and now their reach is extending into the real world. We're seeing them around in real life.
So this thing wants Earth as well?
It might be that the plan is to absorb the world into the game too, eventually. We don't stop it.
Okay, the second mug smashes. So are you saying that Hastur is going to absorb, like, Carcosa and then our world? Or, like, I hate to fucking say this. This is a horrible suggestion, but like, Mauve, you occult, right? Like, evil deities, is human sacrifice a thing? Because there's an ass ton of people in that game right now that can die really easily. Does that fucking count?
Human sacrifices have been along for millennia. It is very possible that in this situation, dying in the game is the equivalent of sacrificing human life. And if that is what is happening, then we're talking about thousands of lives. It could really, really do a lot of damage based on what I've learned over the years.
Asta.
You think it's like Beetlejuice? Do you think maybe we shouldn't say it? Should we say it more or less?
Say it more. Reduce the fear.
Okay.
Let's not say it.
Haster, 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 Haster.
We don't want to be saying Haster and a hushed breath and the curtains vibrate. No. We shouldn't be scared.
We got a name now, right? I mean, that's got to be something. Mauve, can I have your mug, please?
Does Gale want you breaking his mugs?
I'll buy Gale new mugs. Anyway, carry on.
I was going to say, are you just smashing Gale's mugs against the wall?
I am. I'll buy him new mugs. These are mugs that I bought him, so I don't feel too bad.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. And as you throw your third mug up against the wall and it shatters into pieces, you all sit there upon this revelation. And it's begun to drizzle outside. And that's where we'll end.
Escaping Carcosa is brought to you by the Ballad of the Seven Dice Network. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram by searching Ballad of the Seven Dice. Supporting our Patreon helps us pay for the show, with hosting, equipment, and additional content for you to enjoy. Our Patreon is Pay What You Want, and contains behind-the-scenes updates, audio dramas, one-shots, and more. You can also head over to iTunes and Spotify and leave us a 5-star review. Every review helps us fight against the horrors of the algorithm.
Until next time, dear travellers, keep an eye out for the yellow sign.